Hello, I'm Lisa Lupo with the Atchison Group, the Director of Communications, and I'm here with David Atchison, the CEO and founder of the group. And we are here today to talk about whole genome sequencing. The first question, David, would be, what exactly is whole genome sequencing? And why do we care?
Yeah, whole genome sequencing is a relatively new technology, at least in terms of the way it's being used today. And in simple terms, what it is a technology that allows the rapid sequencing of bacteria at the genetic level. So it is used to look very much at characterizing down to the genetic level, detail level, of organisms. And what that allows you to do is to compare, let's use bacteria as the example. So to compare bacteria and ask the question, are these two genetically very similar? And the importance of that is are they from the same source? Now, I won't get into the technical details of it, just exactly how you do whole genome sequencing. But I will say that there's been some major, major advances in this field in the last decade or so.
Okay.
Years ago, we were able to sequence genes in bacteria. It took months and hundreds of thousands of dollars to do it.
Wow.
Not a very practical approach. As technology has evolved, you can now sequence the genome, say, of an E. coli or a salmonella or a listeria, almost in a matter of minutes. You know, a couple of hours will take you through a genome sequence, and you can do it depending on exactly the tools you're using. But we're looking at $50 to $100 versus months and hundreds of thousands. So the whole field has changed. And because of that speed and reduced cost, the regulatory agencies have seized on this as the latest way to look at genetic relatedness. And that's probably a key term, is okay. Genetic relatedness. And people who are listening to us today are probably going to say, well, the FDA's been in and say, these two strains are related. And it's like, well, how related? Are they twins, identical twins, or are they sort of distant cousins? And that becomes really important because bacteria that are identical twins likely are from the same source. And that's a key point, that when you get two salmonellas and they match genetically, it's like, the regulatory strategy and the strategy for a food company would be to ask the question, what's the common denominator here? In other words, I found the same strain in two batches of the same product. What happened? What's the source? Where did they come from? When you've got, well, they're related, but they're distant cousins. It's like, well, does that mean that they're from the same source or it's just natural mutations? And this gets into the complex issues of how related they are, Lisa. And it gets into understanding something called SNPs, as they're known, which talk about the genetic relatedness. And typically, if there's two or three SNPs different, then the regulators would say, yeah, they're pretty much the same strain. It's just what the difference there is so minor. It's like, okay, they're not, we need to look for a common source. You know, if they're 30 or 40 SNPs different, you're gonna say, nah, they're probably unrelated. But as with everything that we deal with in food safety, there's very few black and white lines. And to say, well, at this level, they're unquestionably related. And at this level, they're unquestionably not related. And we wind up with all these gray zones, which we're very used to dealing with. But let me come back to the use of whole genome sequencing,
right,
and the impact of it. Years ago, we used to look for genetic relatedness in bacteria using something called pulsed field gel electrophoresis. Many people know of it as PFGE.
Right.
Okay. And that was a tool that's been around for decades, which allowed some level of exploration of genetic relatedness between two strains. And it was good, but what whole genome sequencing has done is taken the fidelity of that to a whole other level. So it's provided, I think, much more accuracy in asking the question, is this strain related to that strain? to the point where if you've got an outbreak of, let's say, E. coli 0157 in a community, and the public health officials have found E. coli in three or four patients, and they are matching by whole genome sequencing, and that's what will be done in today's environment. Whole genome sequencing will be done on E. coli and Salmonella and Listeria that are found in clinical patients. And they find two, three that match, their hypothesis will be there's a common source. They will go to that with as few as two or three. Now, finding that common source is the next nightmare and probably a whole other conversation. But let's assume that the whole genome sequencing says there's a match and you go talk to the patients and it turns out that they all ate a certain product and a certain lock code once you've gone through all the epidemiology, which I make sound simple, but isn't. And that product came from a specific manufacturer. The next thing that happens is that there's a conversation with the regulators and the manufacturers. We found these four cases. They've got a matching strain by whole genome sequencing. Our epidemiology has determined that it looks like they all ate your product in the timeframe in question. You might even have a lock code. And the manufacturer is then on the hook in terms of what are they going to do. So whole genome sequencing in a nutshell allows high fidelity in terms of genetic relatedness, which can then link to implicating foods as a source of an outbreak, which takes you back to a manufacturing facility. Now, the other chapter to that is what FDA may do when they come visit. And we're all familiar with swabathons. It's a new term that was created in the food industry a number of years ago. It's like, I don't think it's in the Oxford English Dictionary. I grew up in England, which is what we used. But, you know, it's like, what is a swabathon? And I think we all know what they are, but the FDA is coming in and they're doing 100, 200, 300 swabs in your facility. If they find a Listeria monocytogenes or a Salmonella, they will sequence it using whole genome sequencing. Okay. And there that sequence will sit in a database. There is a national database and there it will sit. And nothing may happen, or 1 month, 2 months, 2 years, 5 years later, there'll be a cluster of illnesses of Listeria monocytogenes in patients. Their strains will be sequenced, whole genome sequencing. That comparison will be done through the database, looking for similarities, and up pops the strain in your plant from 5 years ago. Now, it may sound far-fetched, but I have seen numerous examples where exactly that scenario is played out.
Okay.
And that triggers a phone call from FDA, which is usually not one that is welcome, but it's reality. And it usually will mean that the regulators will come back into your plant looking for that strain again. So whole genome sequencing is a very powerful tool. And there is a library built of whole genome sequences. And currently, the regulatory and public health agencies are adding about 9,000 strains a month to that.
Oh, wow.
So it's growing very fast. And there's a sort of there's a strategy to try to map food facilities. So why are they doing it? Final thought here. The whole goal here is when you've got two or three cases and you can identify the food quickly that might be responsible for that and initiate some sort of market action or recall or something, the goal is to save exposure, save illness, and protect the public, as opposed to waiting until we have 300 cases before we figure it out. So the whole mission here is to leverage modern technology like this to try to get out in front of outbreaks and not be reacting to them. But it's very much a tool that's here to stay, and it's very powerful.